Yes, we are free. He has set us free. Just being led by the Spirit to ask something of you right from the beginning. And that is, I'm going to open with prayer, but I want to remove the thought that I'm praying. It's actually something that Randy said that the Holy Spirit kept speaking to me about, and that is that there is something special about corporate prayer. So as I pray, I don't want you to listen to me pray. I want you to be involved in this prayer. So I'm going to lead, but I'm going to ask each of you to be active participants in this prayer. Okay? So, Father God, we just come to you thanking you for all that you've done.
We're grateful.
You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just want to bring to you right now our pastor. Our desire is that he's here with us. And your word says that you give us the desires of our heart. So we ask that you do a work suddenly in his flesh. We know that you are the God who has healed him. What we're desiring is that manifestation in his flesh. We thank you for all that you're going to do. Father God, we invite you here. Holy Spirit, guide us, lead us, and teach us what you have for us today. And we ask all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I always enjoy when I get to share. However, when I get to share because someone else isn't doing well, then it's not quite the same. See, I'd prefer to Pastor Bill was here sharing. Now, I don't know about any of you, and this I wasn't planning on sharing. Have you ever read some of Paul's writings? And when he's giving a defense of himself, it almost sounds like he's a little prideful, a little arrogant, or whatever. I always try to steer away from saying anything that involves me, unless, in a way, it's almost me showing you where I've missed it or gone wrong. Because then I'm not talking about prideful something. I'm talking about, hey, I've missed it here. Okay? But one of the things, as Randy was sharing during praise and worship, that God was impressing upon me, and that was just because Pastor Bill is in here, and I'm here in his place, the Holy Spirit's still your teacher. So you don't have to be concerned so much with who's up here. I'd like Pastor Bill to be up here. But the Holy Spirit's going to teach you something today. Because that's his job. My job's not to get in his way. Okay? Now, I can say that I've done that before. I don't know about any of you. If you get in the way, I've gotten in the way before. So I always pray to keep me out of it as much as possible. Now, I know that I have to be the one sharing and that I am to prepare. So I do. But I want to be led by the Spirit in everything. And so that's the reason why I prayed that my desire is that each one of you hear today what the Spirit wants you to hear. And what one hears may be completely different from what someone else hears. And both of what you hear may be nothing what I said. That's great. As long as you got something that you needed from the Holy Spirit today. Okay? So I'm going to share with you what the Holy Spirit put on my heart to share. That's my part. So want to open with a couple of verses that you're all very familiar with. And it's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Give you a second to get there. If you have, how would I put it? I still use my Bible in church. And that might be a little different for most people nowadays, where you're actually turning the pages and finding it. I'd realize it's often quicker just to hit a button on your phone and boom, there it's there. There's, for some reason, I just still like using the written word. I can't explain it. I use electronic forms when I'm at home, when I'm studying. For some reason, when I'm in church, I use the written word. It takes a little longer to find it sometimes, especially if you're turning to some of those stuck pages back in the smaller, lesser prophets. But Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says this, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And we know the day's approaching. Can't say how soon it is, but it's approaching. It's closer now than when the Word of God was originally written down on paper. But it's approaching, which means it says we're supposed to do this even more as we see the day approaching. So when I read that, I go, we should be doing this more now than they did back then. It's kind of what it says, right? We're going to spend some time. Donna actually asked me last night what the title was for my teaching this morning. And it was funny, via text. It was about between 8:15 and 8:30 last night. And what was funny to me was I just got the title between 8:15 and 8:30, just before she sent the text. It's like, okay, this is what I'm sharing on tomorrow. Now, that didn't mean I had anything to go with it. I had a title. So, I shared with her the title. And if I were to put one on it, it's Exhortation to Do Good. Now, there's going to be several exhortations in this, but it all kind of ties in with doing good. For those of you who were here in the first half of the service, Randy mentioned the term works and that we're not saved by works. But being saved by works is different than doing good works. And we're going to get into that as part of the breakdown of this. But what I want you to do in looking at this verse first, we're really only going to look at two passages kind of in detail. We'll go to a couple support verses. We're going to look at two verses in a little bit of passages in a little bit of detail. And the first is this Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Because what God put in my heart last night when he gave me this title was to exhort the church, you, this local body. And this is something that he's working into me. Some people, all I can say is that's what God has anointed them to do. They just exhort people all the time. I can say that hasn't been me in the past. I'm not going to say that it isn't now and it won't be in the future, because it's something he's working into me more and more. And so I'm going to get to practice on you today. How's that? That's kind of what, you know, I'm learning up here every day when I'm sharing something with you. Because see, not only are you hearing it, I'm hearing it. It's my own words. So I'm going to do some exhorting today. And the first thing that I want to do is so you have the mindset on this, and I've shared this here before, and it's a way that God gave it to me when I was originally looking at this word, exhortation. And what he was showing me was that some people have it a little off. They're close, but it's not quite what the word means. A lot of people will go around patting someone on the back and thanking them for something that they've done. Don't get me wrong, that's a great thing to do. But that's not necessarily what exhortation means. Exhortation means to call someone out to some future positive action. So it's not thanking them for what they've done in the past. Exhorting, you're calling them to an action that they're going to do in the future. Maybe the future's a second from now. In other words, starting now, okay? So keep that in mind as I'm exhorting you. This is for some future positive action. And I'll allow God to be God to you. That's what I ask of God for me. Just be my God, and I'll allow God to be God for all of you. Let him lead you as to which of these you need to take action on, okay? Because the Holy Spirit will speak to you and go, yep, that's one you need to be doing, okay? And it's not up to me. I'm going to mention some that he's brought to my attention, okay? And the way I often think of this, even as God showing me things, I'll get it and go, you know, you're probably sharing this with some other people too, aren't you? You know, because God's not a different God. If he's sharing with me, my guess is he's sharing with some other people too. Okay? So, keep that definition in mind. I'm going to give you another one straight from Noah Webster's dictionary. Okay? This is back in 1828. So it's not your current day Merriam-Webster, where a lot of, how would I put it? Today's thoughts have crept into the definitions. Yeah. That's why I'm putting it politely. Okay? Whereas Noah Webster, back in his day in 1828, most of his definitions had a biblical concept in mind. Okay? So I like going back to his dictionary when I'm going to look up a word. And I went back there and looked up exhortation. And this is what Noah Webster said. He said, it's the act of inciting to laudable deeds. Now, once again, oftentimes when you look up a definition, you go, okay, now I need to look up another word because I don't know what that is. I don't know if any of you ever find yourself there. I do. But he goes on in the next phrase of the definition to really say the same thing again, maybe in a little more understandable English to some. So the first part was the act of inciting to laudable deeds. And then it says incitement, using that same word, to do that which is good or commendable. So that's what exhortation is. You're exhorting someone to do something in the future that is good or commendable to be doing. And where can we find those things? I will make a suggestion to you. The best place to find them is in God's Word. If you want to find out what you're supposed to be doing, just go to His Word and find out. That's where you'll find the good stuff to be doing. Okay? So, now, one of the next things I want you to look at is keep in mind that God knows how He wants things to work. Do they necessarily always happen exactly the same way as He wants them here on earth? No, because man allowed Satan to get involved here. Okay? And that can be made clear if you went to 2 Peter, and we won't go there. But, you know, His desire is that all men should be saved. God's desire. Are all men saved? So we can't say that His will is always done on earth. There would be no reason for us to pray that His will be done on earth if it was always done here on earth, right? So what I want you to see here is the fact that He still has His way. And His way, once again, is made clear in God's Word. What I want you to think about is, as you look at Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, is that you're reading God's way. Okay? What's His way said? Say. Let's go back and look at that verse again. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So you got to think about other people. If you're not thinking about them and you're only thinking about yourself, you're not going to stir up love. Okay? Except for maybe for loving yourself, which once again is not really what you're going to find the whole Word of God about. Okay? Love God, love people. Okay? But what then happens? It says to stir up love and good works. That's what you're needing to do. But now let's keep reading on. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. So in other words, even back in their day, some people weren't getting together as God said, this is my way. This is the point I was making. See, you cannot receive exhortation from someone, nor can you exhort anyone if you don't come together and get around people. If you sit at home and listen to this sharing that God's having me do in your living room by yourself, you're missing something that God wants for you. Okay? And that's God's way. It's one of the reasons we're to meet here regularly as a church, is so that you can exhort one another. So here's my first exhortation. Exhort one another. That's the starting place. My first exhortation is exhort one another. That's why God says one of the reasons you're supposed to be here today. Okay? And that's why God speaks this to me. Okay, this is not natural to me, But I need to be doing it because that's how God says it's supposed to work. So I'm practicing on you today. In fact, it was interesting when I was looking for what I should share today. I found out about 5:30 last night or late afternoon that I was going to share. And I probably spent the next, 5:30, 8:15, 2 hours and 45 minutes taking to God, well, I could share on this. And in my spirit was like, nope. And I said, well, what about this? Nope. I know I went through at least a half a dozen different things during that time, going, well, what about this? No. Everything was no. And for those of you who have shared, how would I put it? You know when you finally got the right one? You just go, what about this? Yep, that's the one. And so at roughly 8:15, I said, oh, what about this? He goes, yeah, that's it. I'm like, I don't have anything for that one. I'm like, oh, good. Sometimes he'll give me a topic and I go, oh, I know right where to start on that one. Here's how this should work. And then I get in the way. So it's better for you that I had nothing. How's that? Because then it had to be all him. Okay? I want you to keep in mind, we got to be together here to be able to do this, and we are to be doing it because this is God's way. So I'm exhorting you to exhort one another. So I was going to ask you a question first. Randy actually posed the question in the first half of today's teaching sharings. And he says, but this is not a test. Well, I'm giving you a test. Only I won't make you answer out loud so that we'll find out who was right and who was wrong and who knew and who didn't. How's that? The question is, how many of you remember the last thing that Pastor Bill shared last week? Because I can tell you I hadn't thought about it until 8:14 last night. A minute before I had my title. And when it came into my spirit, it was like, oh, that's what I'm supposed to share about. Okay? So in other words, it was right there just to pick up on something. It was not what his teaching was about last week. That's why if you're remembering what he shared last week, you don't have the right answer. Okay? The last thing he shared last week was he actually did what we're talking about here. He explained that he was being led by the Spirit to, and he didn't use the word exhort, but it's exactly what he did, to speak something to Janet. Right? You remember what it was? Well, because that's the verses. We're going to go to the verses next that are the basis for the exhortation that he did. Now, remember the definition, to call out as if across the room? He did it from here. She was over there on a microphone. It's recorded. Every one of you heard it. There's a reason that exhortation is supposed to be done that way, so that then you too can exhort her in the same way. It's not just to be one person exhorting a person in that way. All of you are supposed to get involved, okay? That's one reason you do it in the open. You don't hide it. It's like if God in his spirit is saying this person needs exhorted here, well, it doesn't just have to be one person. It can be all of us, okay? So now Janet is out this morning. And so she's not getting to hear this. Hopefully she'll listen to the recording because this was going to be my opportunity to exhort her too, okay, as Pastor Bill did. And actually share a little bit more in detail about what he exhorted her about. If you remember what did he exhort her about and how it ended without using the exact words of the scripture was God sees the good works you've been doing. Don't look at them like they're not seen. Don't get downhearted because you're not maybe seeing results or what you expect to see, but rather keep doing the good works that you're doing. God sees them. Now, we all have to come to that point and realize that that's a word for every one of us. He was speaking it specifically over her. But God sees your good works. And just because no one else sees them doesn't mean that God's not seeing them. And see, that's what's most important. If you're doing something so that others can see your good works, you might want to check your motive. Okay? It's really simple. I have to do that myself. I'm not saying that to you. I have to do that myself. So, but what's important is God sees it. You see, one of the things oftentimes Good works, when done the right way, aren't noticed by other people. Think about this. Now, maybe you did, but did any of you notice Janice not in that chair today? Why? She's out doing a good work. She's out teaching your children. That's a good work. She's sharing the word of God with your children. So oftentimes, they're being done, we just don't recognize them. And therefore, we need to be led by the Spirit in all of this. So as I go through this, keep this one fact in mind. Everything that I say involves the Holy Spirit in it. In other words, there are thousands of good works that each one of us could do. But there are specific good works that God wants each one of us to do. Those are the good works that we are to do. And the Holy Spirit will tell you which ones you're to do and which ones are for somebody else, if you rely on him to do so and listen to his voice. Okay? So get the Holy Spirit involved in this, is what I'm saying. You might find your life goes better if you get him involved in everything. But I'm saying specifically in this, is this for me, God? I ask God questions all the time. I've shared this with you before. I talk to God like he's right there with me because I believe he is. And so I literally, and because I live at home by myself, I can talk out loud. No one thinks I'm crazy. They're not here to go, is this for me, God? And I listen for his voice, okay? So what I'm saying to you is do the same thing. Listen to see, is this for me? I see this, but is this for me? Now, don't get caught in something that I've been caught in before. Just because you see an opportunity for good works, as we've talked about, doesn't mean it's the one you're supposed to do. But there's always something you can do. And it's a good work too. And that is pray over that situation. In other words, you see something needs done here. And you know from God's word the way it should work, what should be done. And maybe you don't have the opportunity, the ability. If there's an opportunity for someone, let's say you needed a new door hung on your house, don't call me. I'm not the one. Okay? It's a good work, but it's not the good work that God would have me do because it probably wouldn't be a good work. It'd turn out really bad and your house would be in trouble. Okay? So, you're not going to be able to answer every single thing that you see. But you can pray about it. But don't let this happen. Because I've kind of fallen into it, and I'm going to tell myself a couple different ways today. Is don't just fall into it and say, oh, I see that, I'll pray. Oh, I see that, I'll pray. Oh, I see that, I'll pray. And you get into the rut of not doing any of it yourself. Trust me, God's got things for you to actually do. What does Ephesians 2:10 say? Created in Christ Jesus for good works. That means he's created each one of us here to do something. Okay? Literally do something. And this is what I'm encouraging. And once again, encouraging a little bit different than the word exhorting. They're often used interchangeably. But I'm doing it out loud so everyone can hear it. I want everyone exhorting everyone here. Let's go out and do good works. Those works, notice I keep saying good works. Works are not going to get you saved. Even doing the good works aren't going to get you saved. But you were created to do them by God himself. Which means it's God's way, right? It's really what he wants for each one of us. So, we're looking to do things God's way. I have no idea where I am in my notes. I did make some. I finished this at 9 a.m. this morning in Starbucks. And so, how would I put this? Sometimes I've had time to prepare and then go back and look through my notes to get an idea of how I'm going to share this. It's just kind of down here. Now I'm going to look and see what else I was supposed to share this morning. I have an idea where I'm going, but each thing that he showed me, he says, make sure and share this. So I want to make sure I'm not leaving something out. The next thing I want to do is to have us go to the second passage. I told you we're going to look at two main passages. The first was Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Now I want you to go to Galatians 6, 9 and 10. Because this passage is actually the basis for the exhortation which Pastor Bill gave to Janet last week. Remember what I said? If you want to know what you're supposed to be doing, the good works you're supposed to be doing, go to the Bible, find it. If you can find it in there, then it's a good work. Okay? So, this is a way to exhort people and actually say it's a good work, but it is to be done. Galatians 6, 9, and 10 says this, "And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Now, you can look at that those two verses. There's what's known as the synthetic method of studying the Word of God. And synthetic is a word that really has two parts to it. It means, S-Y-N means together. And the T-H-E, the next part of the word, means put. So when you're saying synthetic, it means put it all together. Okay? And so you can read that and get an idea of what's being said there, but then there's also what's known as the analytical method. And that means to basically break it down and pull it apart. We're actually going to pull these two verses apart and look at several different phrases so that you can catch some things that you may not have caught before. You may have, but I know until I looked at it this way, I had missed some things. Or at least, I may have seen them, but maybe not spent time recognizing their importance in my life. So by looking at these individual phrases, we're going to see some things. Okay? The first thing is the phrase, and we're going to go there and stop. It says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good." Let us not grow weary by doing good. For in due season we shall reap. Now, notice it says, do not lose heart. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. For those of you who are in the first half of the teachings today, the sharings today, Randy mentioned this word if. It's a really big word in the Bible. It just keep an eye open for it because it's in there. I haven't counted. Maybe you could look it up in Google or something and it might tell you how many times it's in there. It's in there a lot is all I will say. And this word if is a very big word because it indicates that what's being said is conditional. Meaning, you have a part to play in it. Okay? So it says something, and then it says, if. So, if you expect to get the promise, or the part that either comes before or after it, you got to be doing the if part. Okay? That's why it's so big. God sets things up to work a certain way. And he's saying, if you do this, this will happen. That's the way God set it up. I didn't put it in the word, okay? This is the way God set things up to work, and his way's right. Even if you think you got a better way, you don't. And this is me talking to me. Sometimes I go, well, why don't we just do it? No. You just better to stop before you finish the sentence, okay? Let's do it God's way. And so let's listen to that again. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. So how many want to reap? If we do not lose heart. So my next exhortation for you is, do not lose heart. When you're constantly doing good and you're not seeing the results that you want in the time frame that you want them to show up in, remember, God's a sovereign God, okay? If you read in that, it says, look at the next phrase. Next, let's think about what is meant by in due season. This means that if you don't lose heart, while you're doing these good works, our sovereign God will bring to pass the reaping in his perfect timing, not yours. Which means this could require some patience. And that's something he's looking to develop in each one of us. Okay? I like to think of myself as being reasonably patient until I come to certain situations. In fact, it was kind of comical, and God does this with me. Sometimes he'll share things with me that'll just stick forever because of the way in the Spirit is presented to me. God more or less said to me in private one time when I was spending time with him that you're patient as long as you get what you want when you want it. Yeah. Oh. That pretty much narrows things down quite a bit, doesn't it? When everything is exactly the way you want it, when you want it, there's really no need for patience. So what he was saying is when it goes outside those parameters, you need some work. That's the way I took it, okay? And so he's working patience into me, and he'll work that into all of you too. And he'll do that in this area of good works. But he doesn't want you to lose heart, because that's the conditional part of the reaping. So here's a question for you. Once again, you don't have to answer out loud. I'm going to guess that many of you here, because you said under the teaching that you do, you'll have the answer for this. I often like to pose things at questions as questions, because then I find that when people come up with the answer and the right answer on their own, then it sticks with them about what was shared that day. So I like asking questions. I guess that's just the teacher in me. It's just the way I like doing it and the way God has me do it often. And that is, what is it exactly that you'll reap? He said the answer out loud. See, it can actually be found. See, we're looking at Galatians 6, 9, and 10, right? So this is not a different thought pulled out of a different book, unrelated somewhere. Let's just jump back two verses and go to Galatians 6, 7. For those of you that are in your Bible and you're already there, it's just look up just a little bit. Those using electronic, it may take more time because now you got to key it all in. But let's look and see what Galatians 6, 7 says. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will reap. Okay, what are we talking about that we're to be doing? So what are you going to reap? There you go. Sowing and reaping. So if you want the expectation of reaping people doing good works for you, guess what you should be sowing? Good works. Once again, this is the way God set it up. You may question, well, is that right or wrong? Go to God's word, ask him. All I can tell you is in the Spirit, based on everything I read, you may not know exactly what the good works are going to look like, but you'll see good works coming back towards you because you're sowing good works. That's what you're going to reap. That's what Janet can expect if we do not grow weary. Remember, this is conditional. See, what does weary mean? It means you're getting tired of doing the good works that you're doing because you're not seeing the results you expected. What you need to remain is confident in the one who has told you to do that, because he said in due season. Once again, in due season means you'll see the results in his timing, because that's what's going to be best for you. You'll see them when you need them. So you can't get tired of doing these good works. Now, the next thing I want you to look at is the phrase, as we have opportunity. Now, this is an interesting one, because as I was preparing this, and God has taken me here before, but this time he said, go ahead and share this here. I've told you before, and if you've listened to me in the times that I've spoken in the last couple of years, I've shared that prior to the last couple of years, I didn't spend I don't remember a time where I taught where God would tell me to share, this is where you got it wrong. And then what that means, because I make it adamantly clear, when I use the word got it wrong, I'm saying that so you can hear it in a funny way to me, because God turns everything of I missed it, I got it wrong, should have done it differently, to you sinned. It's that simple, according to God's word. And we'll show you this and why, okay? So I can tell you in this part where it says, as we have opportunity, what I find is in my own life is if I'm not looking for the opportunities, I often miss them. So my next exhortation for you is look for opportunities to exhort people, because you're more likely to find them. If you're looking for something in your house and you go, well, it's either here or here. And then you go and say, oh, it's not there. Where else could it be? But you're actively looking to do it. You're much more likely to find it if you're not looking for it. Now, every once in a while, have you ever just stumbled around your house and go, oh, there that is. I needed that back 6 months ago. Thought I had it, never found it, went out and bought it again. Because I didn't look for it, but it was there all the time. So sometimes you'll just stumble onto something by accident is what I'm saying. It's the same way with these opportunities. And sometimes God will put these opportunities right in front of you. Let's say I'm walking. Opportunity. In other words, I've got to find a way around it, or I'm going to trip over it or something. Or it's going to block me, because God is literally saying, this is your opportunity. Do you see it? It's impossible for you to avoid. Here's my telling of where I have sinned before. Okay? Praying that it never happens again. Because once you sin, like I said, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is repent. It really is. When you're saved is a good word, because that's what leads you to be saved. You need to repent. Well, it's still just a great word once you're saved. If you sin, ask God to forgive you and repent. Because that goes on from asking forgiveness, because you can ask forgiveness the rest of your life and not do anything to change about your actions, your thoughts. So I'll share with you a couple different things that I've done that are plain sin, according to the Word of God. And that is, when I come to this opportunity that, you know, it's God. I mean, you know it. And he put it right there so that you couldn't miss it, which means that one's for you. Do you remember the teaching when Donna Marabella was here, not this last time, but the time before? She shared the story about how she was going through a mall, and she went past someone, and God kind of stopped her and says, you saw that one, didn't you? That's this. You saw that, didn't you? That was for you to do something about. Okay? Well, now I can tell you that in the past, I have got it wrong. And that is, I've come up to something like that, and I can come up with some what I think are pretty good excuses for not doing it. In other words, I can explain my way around that's right there in front of me. My exhortation here is, don't do what I did in the past. I don't ever want to do it again. I'm sharing this just so you can think of, if you run into that going, okay, I'm saying this to avoid that. The Holy Spirit will remind you of this teaching going, don't do that. Okay? Don't do that. Don't come to it and say, there it is. I need to do something about that. If it looks like to you, well, I don't have the ability to do that, you may want to ask God, well, and say, hey, I don't see how I can deal with that one. And if you take it to God and go, okay, you put it there, how do I deal with that one? He may show you a way to deal with it. If he put it there, he will. Okay? So in other words, don't go by what you see or what you think or what you can explain away. If he showed it to you, he'll have a way for you to do something with that that's right there in front of you. So don't do that, is what I'm saying. That's actually, you can exhort both to do something good and exhort almost in a negative way, but it's good. In other words, don't do that is a good thing. Just like if your child was about to stick little one that doesn't know any better, 2-year-old, about to put his hand inside of a flame. You say, don't do that, right? That's a good thing, right? Well, so I'm sharing this with you. Don't do what I did before, okay? So we want to be actively looking for the opportunities, and don't make excuses when we see them. Always be led by the Holy Spirit to do exactly what it is you're supposed to do. Now, I did want to share one more thing. In looking at these opportunities, there will be times when you'll see it and you'll go, I don't see how, and you'll even go to God and go, this is something that needs done. This would be a good thing. And I can see according to your word, it would be a good thing. That's when prayer gets involved. There will be times when God will say, yep, that one's not yours, but you can pray about it. And in itself, that's a good work. I don't know, have any of you started praying and after a couple hours of praying, you feel like you've worked? I'm being serious. It's a good thing, but it's a good work to be praying for people. I'm just saying don't use it as an excuse to avoid doing what you're actually supposed to do yourself, okay? But the praying is a good work. So I want to go back to what I shared with you about saying that this is actually sin, what I'm talking about. If you can avoid those things or find excuses for not doing what you clearly know God showed you to do, God calls it sin. Once again, notice I'm not saying I'm calling it sin. I like emphasizing that God said it, not me, so don't come to me saying, what are you talking about? It's in God's word. If you got a problem with it, take it up with him. That's all I'm going to say. So look at James 4:17. I can tell you that God has had me in the book of Galatians, which if you know the overall theme of Galatians, it's about Christian liberty. Paul is talking to the people at the time who he had shared Christ alone, Christ crucified, Christ risen, and in that, you have a liberty now that you never had under the law. But what's clear in Paul's teaching is, we're reading Galatians because this is where these verses are, this 6, 9, and 10 is at. This whole passage is an impassioned, I would call it, the word writers will use is polemic. It's an impassioned Paul calling out to people saying, you got this wrong. Get it right. What are you doing? In other words, it's not just some presentation of some theology in an order. He's actually really concerned with what's going on, and he's expressing it in a very vehement way throughout Galatians. He says, what has caused you to go from the truth that I shared with you back into that? How can you do that so quickly? So when we're talking about doing these good works, Paul is not talking about going back into the law. You need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. That's why I said keep in mind you're being led by the Spirit in all of this. And the Spirit's always going to have you do what God would have you do. And you, even in yourself, you will know, I'm not doing this because there's some law telling me to do it. You'll actually want to do it because you're looking to please your Father God. It's the right thing to do. It's not that you're being forced to do it. If you're feeling forced to do it, check up with God about it. Okay? Once again, or talk to some others that you know God and say, what's going on here? Can you help me out? Being forced to do something is not the right way. Okay? Now, we have leaders and leadership that when they say do this and you submit yourself under their authority, then you should go, okay, you need to do this unless God shows you clearly there's something unrighteous or wrong about what they've told you to do. Okay? But go before God and say, okay, is this what I'm supposed to do? But James 4:17, this is why I can call what I've done in the past sin, is found in James 4:17. It says, therefore to him who knows to do what? Good. And he does not do it, what is it? Sin. That's as plain as it gets. So when God through his Spirit says, there's a good work for you, That's for you to do. Now, it's up to you. Are you going to do it? Or are you going to sin? There's your two options. You're going to do it, or are you going to sin? I like it when God is blunt and plain with me. That's about as plain as it gets. I'm not looking to put condemnation on anyone. That's not what this is about. But sometimes when you can see something this clearly, when you come up to that, you're going, oh, I'm not going around this one, because that would be sin. And I don't want to sin, because I don't want to affect the relationship between my Father, God, and me. Okay? So when you can clearly see something is sin, then more clearly be led to avoid falling into that sin. Sometimes you can sin a sin and really not even know you're doing it, when you have not been yet educated on the truth of God's word and know, hey, that's wrong. Just same way with a child. If he does not know yet, not just put his hand in the fire, well, he just doesn't know. Once he knows, then he ought not do that, when he can understand it. But so this is the same way with us. If we know we're to do something good, and it's clear from the Holy Spirit that he's given it to you to do, then if you don't, it's sin. It's really easy. So I'm going to start wrapping up here. And I just want to throw in one more exhortation. And that is the last phrase on Galatians 6, 9, and 10. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, we've talked about the opportunities, let us do good to all. Now, that's just like love. You do it to all. But the last phrase says, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. That means your brothers and sisters in Christ. So my exhortation for you here today is, do that. It's right there in the Word of God. If you want to do a good work, do what the Word of God says. And that is to do these good works to those who are of the household of faith. You want to know a good place to start? God brings you together so you can exhort one another. Go up to say to someone, hey, do you need something? Is there something I can do for you? Because oftentimes people aren't going to come to you and just say, I have this need. Most people don't do that. Now, I shouldn't say that. In the world, there are people that will do that. What I found is there are many people that sit in the church that nobody knows they have a problem or an issue, need some help in an area, because they don't voice it to anybody. But what I've found is over time is if I'm willing to go to them and say, do you have a need somewhere? Is there something maybe I can help you with? You'll find those good works are right there in front of you, even though you didn't see them. But if you actively, that's why I stress this, actively are looking for these opportunities, what I'm giving you or suggesting is one way to find them, to do this actively. Go talk to someone. Hey, something I can do for you? Any way I can help? And maybe just sharing a word with them. You know, I've got this problem. Oh, here's what the Word of God says. Now, it may be going spending 6 hours of physical manual labor. I got to do that yesterday, and it was a good work, and I loved it. What you'll find is when you're doing good works that you know you're supposed to do, even though it's work, you're having the time of your life, because you know it's exactly what God wants you to do. And so what I'm encouraging you is, look for these opportunities and then doing them. That's my last exhortation for you for today. So hopefully you can take some of these and go to God and the Holy Spirit and say, okay, what do you have for me in this? And then I'll encourage you, don't just ask the question and go on without your day without taking time to listen for his answer. What I found is sometimes it takes more than 30 seconds to get an answer from God. Have any of you ever found that? So what I'm saying is spend some time, and I'll even add one more thing because this was God to me, and close your mouth. There's a time for praying where you're verbalizing what you need from God. The Bible's clear on that. But there's a time for you to listen to what God has for you. You're asking for him to show you what you should do. To hear him, close your mouth. Have you ever tried talking to people where they're both talking and one talks louder than the other and then it gets louder and you really can't hear, especially when there's like 50 people all doing it? It really helps if it's quiet when to hear God. Now, I will say, if he wants you to get it, he'll find a way. Okay? But what I'm suggesting is it's a lot easier when you just go, okay, God, what do you have for me? And I'll do it. So I want to close there. Father God, we just thank you for your word today. We ask you to show us the good works you'd have for us to do. And then give us your ability, your wisdom, to be able to do them. And we just thank you in advance for all that you're going to do in our lives. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.